live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Thank you for watching or listening to this free podcast of the Young Turks. We want to make sure that you get some portion of the show every day. But if you want the full show, which is actually 5 segments, come become a member and support independent media as well. TYTnetwork.com/join. Meanwhile, enjoy the free podcast.
There. Welcome to the Young Turks. I'm Anna Kasparian, and Jake Uger is off for the evening, but Maitha Alhassan and Mark Thompson join me for a fantastic show ahead. There is lots going on. International news, obviously domestic policy that could impact the most disadvantaged people in the country. And at the very top, we have something that's both substantive and very juicy.
I agree.
You guys know what it is. We're going to talk about Giuliani. I know that some of you may have caught Cenk's live video on our YouTube channel about it, but we got video. We got SOTS. That's what they call it in the industry, sound on tape. You guys ready for that?
I love it when you use jargon.
Right. Yeah. They're like, okay, whatever, get on with it. Anyway, thank you for joining me today, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Excited to be here.
Yes, yeah, it's gonna be a good show. In the second hour, Kim Horcher will join us and she will be leading the show. And I wanted to just quickly announce something that's pretty exciting with TYT Network. If you are on the go and you just wanna be able to catch audio in your car while you're driving somewhere, you can do so now through TYT.com/audio. There will be audio versions of our shows, including a brand new show for our network that will be hosted by Ohio State Senator Nina Turner. So again, go to TYTNetwork.com/audio if you're interested in receiving and listening to the audio versions of our programs.
I'm best appreciated in just the audio form, I find. I think you don't want to be distracted by my incredible sex appeal. You just want the audio.
Well, I love watching video, but it's very convenient to listen to podcasts and audio in the car.
No, so that's the way I take in a lot of TYT content, so it's good.
Yeah, yeah. I plug YouTube
to the car, but this is going to be a more seamless interface. I like it.
Right, yeah. It's great. So just check it out if you're interested. And by the way, Nina Turner's show is called We the People, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited about this. All right, moving on. Rudy Giuliani, one of Donald Trump's many lawyers, was in Tel Aviv and he was asked about the situation involving Stormy Daniels and how Trump's fix-it lawyer, Michael Cohen, had paid her $130,000 in hush money prior to the election. Now, he said some pretty disparaging things about Stormy Daniels when he was answering these questions, and many people are either outraged or defending him about these statements. We'll let you judge for yourselves. Let's take a look at what he had to say.
She believes in her husband. She knows it's untrue. I don't even think there's a slight suspicion that it's true when you, excuse me, when you look at Stormy Daniels. I know Donald Trump and look at his three wives, right? Beautiful women, classy women, women of great substance. Stormy Daniels. So I respect all human beings. I even have to respect, you know, criminals. But I'm sorry, I don't respect a porn star the way I respect a career woman or a woman of substance or a woman who has great respect for herself as a woman and as a person and isn't going to sell her body for sexual exploitation. So Stormy, you want to bring a case? Let me cross-examine you.
So there are many things to address in that statement, including whether or not he regretted saying those things. Just a little hint, he didn't. He has only doubled down. But in the very beginning of that statement, he said she believes her husband. In that statement, he was referring specifically to Melania Trump. And interestingly enough, it was just reported that a spokesperson working for Melania Trump has released a statement indicating that Melania Trump has not spoken to Giuliani. And that is interesting information because it essentially says, well, Giuliani is not telling the truth there. I haven't had a conversation with him about whether or not I believe my husband.
And it's probably implying one more thing, which is that she doesn't believe him, right?
That's right.
That obviously she accepts, meaning she understands that Trump had an affair with this porn star. And she, I'm not saying she approves of it, but she understands it as fact. Otherwise, why reach back and say anything about Giuliani. You could just let the comment pass.
Right.
But I think, too, as he's demonstrated in these comments, he is off the cuff. He is a loose cannon. So she probably doesn't know what else he's going to say and attribute to her when they've never had a conversation. So maybe that's a good way of just trying to nip that in the bud real quick.
That's a really great point. I didn't think about it that way. So maybe that was an attempt at, you know, preventing any further damage that Giuliani could do. But, you know, the Melania Trump portion of this is I mean, it just developed, so that's why I mentioned it first. But the bigger issue is Giuliani essentially criticizing Stormy Daniels, not just based on what she does for a living or how she's earned her money, but essentially saying that she's, I mean, he said, look at her.
Yeah.
Right? She's not attractive enough for the president to have an affair with her. I mean, he tore her apart in so many disgusting ways. And I just found it incredibly ironic that he was on tape in front of all these people slut-shaming someone when in reality he is a defense attorney for the biggest slut that's ever been in the Oval Office, just keeping it 100. And what I mean by that is he's the first president who openly has had children by three different women. He has cheated on his wives very openly. It's well-known information. This is not new. So the idea of looking at someone like Stormy Daniels and trying to discredit her because of what she has decided to do as her profession, again, is ironic considering who you're defending in the Oval Office.
Yeah, Donald Trump's not some paragon of virtue. You're absolutely
exactly
right. He's slimy in almost everything he's involved in. And I don't even know why I threw the almost in there, I guess just to be polite. But from real estate deals to the way he's conducted his sex life, it's all had slime to it. So it's not as though this guy just stepped out of bounds once, Donald Trump. He is somebody who lives his life out of bounds. So Giuliani is in a weird place when, and I think it is indeed the case that he's a loose cannon. He just fires off. And he just is on such thin ice when defending Donald Trump in any way associated with comportment and behavior and what's said. Donald Trump is the wrong guy to defend. You may want to defend him for being authentic, for being a bunch of other stuff, but Trump certainly isn't the guy who has behaved in any manner that's defensible.
Yeah, he uses really bizarre strategies to try to get to a conclusion that is not justified by his argument. So he's trying to appeal to Christian moral values. Well, as we've talked about, Trump hasn't lived up to that. And then secondly, let's not forget his other sleazy, incredibly gross comment of grabbing them by
the pussy.
Yeah,
I don't like to censor that because that's what he said. He didn't say grab her by the genitals, grab her by the kuka. He said by the pussy. That's what he said. He is the president of the United States. He was on tape saying that. And he also said that he goes up to women and kisses them without permission.
Right.
I don't even ask them. I move in on them like a bitch. That's what the president of the United States said on tape. Just making that clear.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. And he's trying to dovetail that with a notion of Trump being classy, like we've talked about. And so it just doesn't square. And then the other thing is that he was trying to connect his dismissal of her profession to not being a feminist value also does not score. There have been many waves of feminism. We're currently in an iteration where we're revisiting and debating what it means to do sex work and for what kind of power women find themselves in, agency they find themselves within the sex industry. And this goes back like centuries to, there's a really great book, I should recommend you guys look at it, called Caliban and the Witch. And it talks about how women before the advent of capitalism used sex work to just have independent lives. And so he's just, I don't know what he's saying, basically.
Well, it's a common misconception. It's not just Rudy Giuliani. People think that feminists and feminism, it's like a monolithic group
right,
of people,
yes.
And it's not. There's a lot of disagreement among feminists, even today, on various issues, including whether or not sex work is exploitative. And so just keep that in mind. But by the way, Rudy Giuliani goes back to that point later. We have some video of that. But the question was, hey, has Rudy Giuliani regretted what he said? I mean, he's in Tel Aviv. Maybe he didn't realize that there would be this much backlash. But in the age of the Trump administration, you don't apologize. You double down if you are part of the right wing. And that's exactly what happened when Dana Bash spoke to him over the phone and asked him, are you going to apologize about this? Take a look.
He didn't realize how big of a thing it was. And I explained why. And he initially pushed back saying, well, in my day, feminists didn't like porn because they thought it was demeaning to porn, to women, excuse me. And then he said, I still stand by what I said, And I said, well, take the feminism aside and just talk about your main.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Point, which is that she doesn't have credibility as a witness. And he said he completely stands by that. And let me just give you part of our conversation. He said the following. If you're involved in a sort of slimy business, it says something about you, says something about how far you'll go to make money. A person who would say no isn't going to do something very demeaning like that for money. A person who would do that for money, a real point about her is that she's not just generally uncredible. She's credible from the point of view of wanting to get money. She's a con artist.
Yeah, never mind our politicians who will risk the lives of our soldiers, of our members of military, just to make weapons manufacturers wealthy, just so they can protect their campaign donations. That's not in any way loathsome. But someone who does sex work, oh, that's something that should discredit that individual. By the way, this is exactly the reason why women don't come forward in cases like this and cases where they have been victimized by sexual assault or rape. Because this is exactly what attorneys do. They attack their character. They do all sorts of character assassination in an effort to discredit them. And that is what Rudy Giuliani is doing right out in the open right now.
Yeah, it's so despicable what he's doing. He's doing so many things that are awful at one time. And as Anna says, he's smearing Stormy Daniels almost gratuitously. You know, we all know Stormy Daniels by now. There's a suit underway. There's been a payoff. All of these things are sort of demonstrably in evidence. And so he really is just padding his part by going overboard to smear her. He's not going to get any sort of political capital for doing it. The only thing I was trying to think, why is he saying this stuff? And I figured he's trying to curry greater favor with the boss, Donald Trump. Yeah. And so Trump can say, hey, Rudy, I heard those comments you made about Stormy Daniels. Good work. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's otherwise, I don't really see what political gain you're getting or if there's any other benefit.
Yeah, there's definitely what the public doesn't know that's going on behind the scenes is that there's a political game between people and the administration for how close they can get to the either the ear of the president or have future positions that they can get. So all this sort of stuff is very self-serving. So we have to take that into account when we read these comments that, again, what do they contribute in terms of the discussion around the Stormy Daniels case? Nothing except, as you said, smearing her character completely with age-old 1950s arguments.
Yeah, and my concern is not just about what he's doing to Stormy Daniels specifically, but what he is doing in terms of setting America back in their perspective on women yep. and what is and is not acceptable behavior. So, you know, essentially stripping women of their independence and their ability to choose, their free will to choose what they do. Look, and here's another thing that I wanted to quickly mention. I see a lot of people on the left, at least on social media, some members of the news, various news organizations commenting about what Melania Trump used to do for a living. She was a model. There are some, you know, examples of her modeling, scantily clad, nude. Don't attack Melania Trump in an effort to defend Stormy Daniels, because you are stooping to Giuliani's level there, right? What Melania Trump did for a living was fine, and it's not something that's worth criticizing, and I feel the same way about Stormy Daniels. Again, don't stoop to their level.
Right, right. It's just worth demonstrating the hypocrisy of the arguments that they make, which is they're trying to attack and project moral judgments on other people, while at the same time they are living out those scenarios.
Right.
So I think,
I was just going to say this, and I think you're right to hint at a kind of a worldview that's mired in 1950. That's what we have in this administration. They have this view of women. They have this view of porn. They have this view of the evolving role of immigrants in our society, of the military. Everything is 1950. Just click in to 1950. That's the worldview. And so Giuliani's comments, even down to Stormy Daniels, reflect 1950 male values with a kind of chauvinism and a rudeness about this woman. And again, I mean, it's not as though we know Stormy Daniels so well, but we know that these comments that Rudy Giuliani makes are rude. And again, they reflect a 1950 worldview. And that is what the Trump administration is all about.
Yeah, and it's an expected consensus. You heard the reaction from the crowd when he said, look at her, look at Trump's other wives. And he was expecting everybody to be in full agreement. And yes, there was some clamor in the crowd, but that's what he's operating from. And if you are expecting innovation, if you are expecting a vision of a different world with these guys at the helm, then I'm sorry, you're going to be rudely disappointed.
I know, but they're not looking for a different
it's
world.
True.
I mean, they've experienced a different world, and they want to go back.
So
that 1950s worldview of the role women should play and the behavior that they should and shouldn't engage in, that's something that I think would probably do well with Trump's base. But I think the question is for those who are kind of in the middle, who are turned off by, the status quo. I mean, there's the status quo and it's terrible. You need to change it. There's no question about that. But we got the wrong kind of change. We moved backwards.
Right, right. There's this funny little anecdote. I think this is actually apropos to what you were talking about folks who want to be stuck in the 1950s, but also embrace everything we have now. Mm-hmm. The Saudi king, King Faisal, was trying to introduce television into Saudi Arabia, and he put in 2 hours of Quranic recitation. He got fierce resistance. So he brought in all the Wahhabis, who are the extreme religious orthodoxy in the country, to his house, and they debated him, and they were infuriated by all his modernisms. And so when they left, they came back outside, and they saw that their cars were replaced by camels. He's like, okay, if you don't want us to be modern, then go back. Go back to that 7th century lifestyle that you want. Mm-hmm. So let's take their phones, their laptops, their everything that they didn't have in the 1950s and see if that's actually the world that you want to live in.
Right. All right. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, some international news, including some backlash from the European Union, Canada, and Mexico in response to Trump's tariffs. Looks like Americans are going to pay heavily. And later on, what Trump is doing or isn't doing to prepare for the North Korean summit.
You're right in the middle of this podcast. We've got another great segment coming up for you. If you'd like the full show, which is actually 5 segments, go to tytnetwork.com/join. You become a member, you support the show, you support independent media, and you get the whole 2-hour show ad-free every day. Let's go do it now.
Welcome back, everyone. Kim Horcher joins us.
Woo-hoo. Hey, everybody. What's up?
Kim's leading the second hour, which I'm super excited about. But before we get to all of that, a few announcements. First, I wish I knew who this person is specifically, but I have a note saying a member wanted to say thank you to the Young Turks for all that you do. Thank you for the nice note, and wants to give his husband, John, a birthday shout out. He's celebrating his birthday on June 9th. June 9th. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, husband, John.
Awesome.
Happy birthday, John.
And then also I got some nice tweets about No Filter, which is a show that I'm doing on YouTube TV. Now, the whole show is for people who are subscribed to YouTube TV, but every week, it's a weekly show. I put a video on our main YouTube channel. So if you guys want to check that out, please do. It's different from the live show. It's different from the main show. It is on prompter because I want it to be a little more produced. This is a little more free-flowy. But people seem to like it. And if you want to check it out, I wanted to make sure to have at least some of that available to everyone. So just go to youtube.com/theyoungturks.
I offered Anna a chance to come on to my podcast and get the edge with Mark Thompson.
I want to come on
to promote the show, and I'm going to offer it to you now publicly.
Yes,
I want you to come on.
I would love to do your show. I think it airs in the middle of the day when I have to be prepping for the show.
But, oh, right.
But I'll take the day off the show.
We'll do an evening session.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Taping.
I would love that.
Good. All
okay.
Right. We're up
great.
To speed. Go, Kim.
Huh? Yeah. I'm in now. Okay. ICE just launched a $2.4 million contract with a data surveillance company that will ostensibly wiretap and follow the social media accounts and mobile or internet doings of anyone they feel that ICE would be surveilling. And this could be very widespread, actually. I mean, under the current rules, it could be anyone they suspect is doing any kind of illegal activity, which includes being here without documentation. ICE, speaking on this, did say, confirm that they were, saying, during the course of conducting criminal investigations, ICE Homeland Security Investigation Special Agents gather evidentiary documents and electronic data containing transactional and non-transactional telecommunications and internet protocol IP records. This exploitation analysis and linking of these records can be a key component of a successful criminal investigation. Some people have clearly seen issues with this being so widespread and being applicable to a lot of people. Julian Sanchez talked about this. He's from the Cato Institute of Privacy and Surveillance.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
One obvious use that an immigration agency might want to do with that information is when you have a fugitive or some specific person you want to track, you can track and arrest them. But he goes on to say that this can be exploited, saying, for example, one of the things we know that ICE is interested in is trying to assign gang membership based on both the judgment of local police departments and social connections, which we know is often not super accurate. Connections and patterns can exist without someone being a member of a gang. For example, a little while back, several toddlers were mistakenly identified as gang members based on these kinds of analytics. And this is happening beyond just this particular company, which is called Penlink. I mean, we've seen Donald mm-hmm. Trump say, these illegal immigrants are animals, but I mean only MS-13. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying I'm accusing people of being an MS-13 that have no evidence to support that they are.
Right.
So this could be a major issue.
So it's not unusual for a government agency to abuse their surveillance powers indiscriminately surveil people who are completely innocent. So that was a huge story back in 2012 with the NSA. That's the reason why Edward Snowden can't come back to the country, because he was the whistleblower who essentially let everyone know that the NSA is indiscriminately spying on people. And the argument was, well, this is in the name of national security. Now ICE is going to have similar powers, widespread powers, under the guise of, hey, we need to prosecute undocumented immigrants, people who are in the country illegally.
I mean, there is precedent for them doing this before with authorizing a stingray to find someone who had illegal reentry into the U.S. But a stingray can pick up the information of a lot of people. And so could this information relating to cell phone towers, relating to collecting data. This has to be a question that people ask themselves, which is, are you comfortable with ICE trawling through a lot of people's data in order to find someone whose only crime may be that they want to find work?
Or that they are seeking refuge.
Or that they, you know, haven't even done anything,
right?
Well, I mean, and even if you grant the fact that they're in the country illegally or whatever ICE's agenda may be, I think Anna made the point I was going to about Edward Snowden, which is that, in essence, you've seen abuses of the NSA and associated surveillance techniques in the past. And then you've seen here on TYT many abuses and aggression on the part of law enforcement. And you put that together, and you have, and you've seen, even in the case of ICE, abuses and oftentimes flimsy reasons and motives to do certain things. So you take that and put it all together with an ability to surveil at will. I think it's a real witch's brew of trouble. I'm really troubled by the surveillance stuff because it comes so effortlessly now with the new technologies, and it's a real opportunity for police and law enforcement abuse.
And also, so one of my concerns, it actually goes further than, oh, this is my privacy, I don't want you checking in on me when I've done nothing wrong, which, by the way, by itself, that's a huge issue. But remember, we're dealing with an administration that is headed by a man who is thin-skinned, egotistical, and likes to take punitive action against those who criticize him. And just based on the way protesters were treated on Inauguration Day, I mean, people, look, there were certainly people who destroyed property, and those people should be prosecuted. There were a lot of people rounded up, including journalists, who did not do anything wrong, right? They were peacefully protesting, or they were working as journalists, and they got rounded up and detained. So if we're living in a world where we have an administration who takes those types of actions, what do you think the government would do with information about you that could be embarrassing, mm-hmm. right? And you're thinking about joining a protest, or you're thinking about assembling and speaking out, or speaking truth to power. If you want to challenge the Trump administration and they have this ability to surveil you in any way that they want, that is problematic. That could have severe ramifications to our freedoms, to our First Amendment rights. That's what I'm concerned about.
That's exactly it. It's government aggression in this new technological space where they can do a lot of damage. And Anna's right. All of us don't want to have our just phones opened up and then have the government cobble together whatever case they want. And these are constellations that they look for of phone numbers and of conversations right now. But again, overly aggressive state will take that ability and take it to another level. It's very dangerous. And look, we have systems in place in this country. You can get a warrant. You can get a judge to hear the reasons you need to surveil someone. To give ICE open powers in this area is scary.
It really is. And this is the definition of big government. I mean, we have conversations about conservatives who are concerned about big government on a regular basis. This is big government. And it has nothing to do with abortion. It has nothing to do with all the moral issues. It has everything to do with government, you know, expanding its power and violating our rights against unreasonable searches and seizures. So we'll see how this plays out. But it's barely even getting any play in the media. I don't really see a lot of coverage about it.
It should be covered more, but I really only found this Newsweek article and another article from 2017 when this was first announced. I mean, they're talking in here about different ways that mm-hmm. you could be surveilled. It's not just, you know, you go onto Facebook or Google Maps. It's also texts. It's also calls. They're able to get around certain regulations by being a third party to this because I think certain telecommunications regulations say that they would have to have some kind of warrant to go through this. Mm-hmm. But there is an exemption to the rule here. It seems like it violates the spirit of the rule or what it was created for, at least.
Wow. All right. Well, that story was depressing, but there's more depressing news for you guys.
I mean, the whole top half is kind of loaded this way. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah. But these are, look, these are, DeBresci, I know you got to move to the next story, but these are important stories. And as you said, yeah. they're not getting play in the mainstream media. And these are the issues of our time. I mean, in other words, that surveillance and technology, the meeting and an aggressive government using both, that is the issue of our time, one of them anyway. Okay.
Okay, well, here's another issue. Taylor Salters, who was a rookie in the Athens-Clark County Police Department, was fired on Saturday for running over someone with his car. However, he was hired Monday in a neighboring police department, sheriff's department, actually, and fully supported for that action. Now, you may not have seen this before, but we do have video of the event that occurred, and it was played out a few different ways in the media following that. I think you should take a look.
Before you do, though, just a warning. It is a difficult video to watch.
Okay.
It is graphic.
Thank you, Anna. Mm-hmm.
We got him.
Stop.
Put your hands behind your back.
I said,
put your hands.
Where's
your hands? Give me hands.
Hit that man.
Give me hands.
Hit the man. Now you said hit that man. Oh my God.
We're going to need units for crowd control.
So, as a follow up to this, we did hear him say, we got him in the video. But we have a follow up as to what he had to say about this incident afterward.
I got him with my car. That's what they're yelling about.
Yeah, hit that man like that.
I didn't hit him with the car. I blocked him with the car.
Yeah, he didn't. He's fine.
He hit the ground, but, I mean,
he didn't hit him.
No. He was running down Vine right there at Fairview, and he's running this way, and I just came this way, and he ran in the hood of my car and bounced off. Right. And I blew my tire on the curb right there. Timothy Patman. Huh? I hit it as soon as I was...
As long as you didn't make some kind of overt movement to strike him, you'd be fine.
No, I meant I did it in, like, to try to go in front of him.
Car already dented there? You did that when he hit it.
Where's it dented? I might have hit that stop sign. Yeah, I think I hit the stop sign at Nellie B in Fairview then. No, he was running on the curb right there. I tried to block him. And that's when I busted my tire off the rim, and I guess it threw me into the...
These two videos paint different stories. We see him hit a person with his car, and then we hear him say, I was blocking him. I hit a stop sign. That seems like lying to me and enough to maybe not have you on the force. But as I mentioned earlier, Taylor Salters, who is the rookie cop in the video, was removed from his job in the Athens-Clark Police County Police Department, but then was picked up by the Oglethorpe County Sheriff's Office just a couple days later. How could this happen? Does it have something to do with the fact that his father is the police captain and head of the Athens-Clark County Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division? I don't know. I mean, we also have another sheriff who spoke about this and spoke about wanting to hire Taylor Salters, Sheriff David Gabriel, who had said, I have known him since he was a baby, and I know he will be a great asset to our county. He also spoke on the incident saying, describing what Taylor did in the video, where a fleeing felon struck his patrol car while he was attempting to apprehend him. There seem to be some lapses in the truth here.
So everyone sees the video. He intentionally ran over someone. Luckily, he didn't die from that incident. And then immediately after says, I got him, or we got him.
We got him.
And he gets fired on a Saturday, I believe, and gets hired that following Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, he's got these connections within the police department.
Yeah, it's nepotism. He should not be hired as a police officer after doing that, after lying about it, after being caught on camera lying about it. What does this say to the people in Athens-Clark County or Oglethorpe County?
To not trust the cops. That's what it says to people. To not trust cops, to not trust leadership within the department that just hired him. And then people wonder, why do people run away from the cops if they haven't done anything wrong? I would be terrified.
Sure, they can do whatever is your point, and then they'll back into some story that everybody will support. I'll say this, and this is how screwed up it is now. As I watch that video, all I'm thinking is, where's the part where they shoot him? Because
that's what we're used to.
Because that's what we're used to. They're going to shoot this, and I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, this is awful. I've got to watch them shoot this poor innocent guy. And I say, poor innocent guy, I get it, he's running from the cops. I get it, but he doesn't deserve, anyway. So when he just gets hit by the car, and I'm thinking, wow, this is extraordinary. But again, it was enough for him to be terminated from the force. And then in some kind of like, it's almost like one of those movies where, you know, my daddy is the the sheriff and in the next town over, and they didn't even wait for an official investigation.
Also, exactly. So the argument that you'll hear from people who want to make excuses for the cops is, well, it was a suspect, it was someone who was suspected of a crime. That's fine, but guess what? Anyone could be suspected of a crime, right? There have been cases where people are suspected of a crime, and then through an investigation, that person is found to be innocent. There is also this crazy idea that even if someone is suspected of a crime, and even if that person committed the crime, the cops don't have the right to just kill them themselves, right? That is an extrajudicial killing. And that is supposed to be unconstitutional and unlawful in the United States. Mm-hmm. So if you're in favor of extrajudicial killings, then you do not support law and order in the country. You just flat out don't believe in it because it goes against the law.
And the other thing I would say, if you are in support of law enforcement, as I am, and I think most of us are, we know that a lot of those, and this is my point, a lot of those who serve, most of those who serve, hate seeing this because it besmirches their department. It besmirches all of law enforcement. Most cops out there aren't doing this crap. And so it's awful to see this kind of thing. And more, it just smears the reputation of guys who are trying to make a difference out there.
I mean, we see stories like this, and we talk about what actually happens, and then people say, why are you so anti-cop? That's not the case. This is something that was wrong, and there's something that there's evidence that there's wrong on. Exactly to your point.
Just like we're not against all people who are trying to be public servants in the government. But when there is government malfeasance of one sort or another, we have to call it out.
Yeah, I mean, that is an interesting, like, it's an interesting criticism when you're trying to shed light on real injustice in the country or on anything. So we do stories that are critical of journalists when they're not doing their jobs properly. Does that mean we're anti-journalists? Like, if for some reason it doesn't apply to any other profession. But look, I've come to realize, at first I was naive. Because at first I thought when we would report on these stories and we would get the reaction that we would from some people, obviously not all, that it was just people who were in denial, they're not accepting what's really happening, they can't believe it because it's so outrageous. But then I realized, no, there is some portion of the country that likes this. They are supportive of what's happening. They know what's happening and they like it, they want to support it, and they're pretending like they don't know. So that's a real issue, and I think, I don't know if it's a silver lining, but I think the Trump administration has really made that thought process and that ideology transparent and more obvious. And I think now that we know it's there, what are we going to do to find solutions for it? Because we can't have this. We can't have a police state. And it, by the way, obviously, yes, it disproportionately impacts the poor, disproportionately impacts the powerless, disproportionately impacts the Black community. But everyone has at some extent felt the impact of this type of brutality. And it will only continue to get worse if we turn a blind eye to it and pretend like it doesn't happen, and then paint everyone who wants to shed a light as anti-cop. That is absolutely ridiculous.
No, but at this point in the culture and the society, this is where we have to ride herd over law enforcement. This is where we have to ride herd over government. Because everything from this kind of thing, which is obvious because you can see it on a body cam and a dash cam, to civil forfeiture, where they take all of your assets because you've been arrested, but you're not convicted of anything. These are things that are associated with government and law enforcement overreach. And this is the time to ride herd over those things more than ever.
We have to take a break. When we come back, more news for you. I want to make sure we get to this story about the CrossFit community.
Thanks for watching or listening to this free version of the Young Turks podcast. You know that the full show is at tytnetwork.com/join. If you become a member, you get the full show ad-free. We love you for watching or listening. Either way, there's going to be a new free podcast tomorrow. You can keep on doing that. But if you want to get the full show ad-free, tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.